Are you truly committed to feeling better? I mean, absolutely feeling your best. What's the key? Eat well, sleep well, lots of hydration through water, and also your daily innovative wellness athletic supplement packs. These packets are created to supplement your daily lifestyle, allowing your body to have the nutrients it needs to run efficiently. These packets include multi-omega fish oil, D3K2 5000, probiotic, and magnesium. It's nearly impossible to get all the nutrients our body requires to run efficiently on a regular basis from our food alone. Taking this daily packet will leave you feeling more energetic and more vibrant. Your brain body will be able to detoxify more efficiently, which naturally reduces inflammation. Find out today, innovativewellness.center, innovativewellness.center, and use the code SPORTSOVERNIGHTAMERICA.
Happy Friday, folks, and welcome to another edition of First Touch here on the Sports Byline Broadcast Network. We are presented by Sports Overnight America. You know, it's kind of a bittersweet show that we have here. It is our first week 38 EPL recap. For those who don't know, the last game week of the 2024-2025 season was played on Sunday. Every game kicked off at the same time, 11 a.m. Eastern time at least. There was a lot that was to be decided. If you were following along or watching along early on, things were all over the place. Unexpected things were happening. And a lot was up in the air. A lot was hanging in the balance for a while. But we have officially figured out who qualifies for Champions League outside of Liverpool, who won the league weeks ago. And Tottenham, who we spoke about last week, who won the Europa League while finishing 17th, may I add. Just a crazy season in the Premier League, and we're really blessed. We have a Champions League final this Saturday, which we will be covering in-depth on the show as well. We'll do a little season review. There's a ton of stuff going on just in the world of soccer now with transfers, rumors, news that we're going to cover as well. It's, for me, at least, the best part of summer. Normally, we don't have a Club World Cup, and we're very much so looking forward to that. We're not going to talk much about it on this show, at least, but we will be covering it throughout the summer as well. So it's cool, man. I mean, we got a lot of stuff, even though Premier League is over, and come Saturday, Champions League will be wrapped up, and we will have either a winner of PSG and Inter Milan. We got a summer full of action as well with the Club World Cup, and I don't know about you, but it's that time of season where Fabrizio Romano's notifications have to be turned on. Transfer news, team news, who's getting sold, bought, going where. And it's been an action-packed window thus far. And, you know, it's Liverpool leading the way. And it's a scary sight for the rest of the Premier League. If you are a Liverpool fan, you are jumping with joy for who you've acquired, which we will cover. And everyone else, at least for me, is shaking in their boots. And, you know, a quick shout-out. Scott McTominay sold from Manchester United to Napoli. They win their second title in 3 or 4 years, I believe. And not only that, he won the Serie A MVP, Scott McTominay. And not only that, scored the game-winning goal, the league-winning goal, a bicycle kick. Would you believe it? Leave Manchester United. Good things happen to you. Nonetheless, First Touch rolls on. Coming up next, you're with your host, Ty Levine, and we're bringing on my co-host, Nico Beef Sauce. Don't move. We're coming right back.
One out of two Americans thinks their life is worthy of a book. Here's another startling stat. You may be one of the 15% of people who bothered to start your book and one of the 6% that got halfway through it, but your gem of an idea likely died. Or did it? Some published authors are making significant money, so join the ranks of the successful people that finish their books with help from Dorrance Publishing. Call right now, and our experienced editors and writers will explain to you what it's going to take to get your book completely written, published, and then taken to market to sell it. It's a free consultation, so call right now. Find out how much time and money it takes to finally get that book idea of yours published. Make your dreams happen. Call Dorrance Publishing right now.
800-485-6003. 800-485-6003. 800-485-6003. That's 800-485-6003.
Are you truly committed to feeling better? I mean, absolutely feeling your best. What's the key? Eat well, sleep well, lots of hydration through water, and also your daily innovative wellness athletic supplement packs. These packets are created to supplement your daily lifestyle, allowing your body to have the nutrients it needs to run efficiently. These packets include multi-omega fish oil, D3K2 5000, probiotic, and magnesium. It's nearly impossible to get all the nutrients our body requires to run efficiently on a regular basis from our food alone. Taking this daily packet will leave you feeling more energetic and more vibrant. Your brain body will be able to detoxify more efficiently, which naturally reduces inflammation. Find out today, innovativewellness.center, innovativewellness.center, and use the code SPORTS Overnight America.
My fellow Americans, let the message ring out that from this day forward, when you buy American, you buy the best. Handcrafted. Something premium. Something pure. For this is the very essence of what our servicemen and women gave their lives to protect, and by God, we shall not allow their sacrifice to be forgotten. It's time to show the world just how great American can be. And we will not wait for tomorrow to come. We will stand here, this moment, together, and we will start today. Celebrate responsibly.
Welcome back to First Touch here on the Sports Byline Broadcast Network. I'm your host, Todd Levine, along with my co-host, Nico Beef Sauce. Let's bring him in. Nico, how we doing, man? What a week we have coming up. What a week we had last week. How are you feeling?
I'm feeling amazing, and I got to go off of what you said last in your intro, which was great. Liverpool making an absolute statement, a team that's known to not spend a lot, comes out swinging for the fences in the first hours of the transfer window, it seems like. And I'm excited, man. I'm excited to talk transfers. I'm excited for the Club World Cup. I'm excited what's coming up next because the action never stops.
We're going to get to the transfer talk later on in the show, but what they have pulled off this early in the window is not what we have typically seen out of Liverpool, and it is terrifying, straight up. Like, they dominated the league this year, and we'll save it, but it is, you guys are definitely going to want to stay tuned in for the transfer talk portion of the show because there's a lot going on and massive implications around the league. Let's recap week 38, the final day of the Premier League season. We knew who the winner was, but there was a lot to be decided. We'll skip through the ones that don't really have much implications. We'll just kind of wrap up with where they finished up. Bournemouth 2, Leicester 0. Bournemouth finished 9th. Overall, I think exceeded expectations for the season, especially after losing Solanke. Leicester relegated, finished 18th. Fulham 0, Man City 2. Big win. City got it done. There was big questions after the FA Cup final on how they would wrap up with their final two games against Bournemouth and Fulham. But they took care of business. Gundogan scored a great goal in the 21st minute. Haaland added a penalty. City finished 3rd. Fulham finished 11th. Let's chat right there for a sec, Nico. City do it. They get Champions League. It's obviously huge for them. I think we all obviously expected them to get it, but it did get a little sketchy for the City fans there towards the end of the season. What do you expect going to the summer with the approach for City moving forward with what they do with their squad? I mean, they were the oldest squad in the Premier League. We already know De Bruyne is leaving. Kyle Walker's been gone, and you can expect a lot of these guys who have been here for this, let's call it a dynasty because that's all that we really can. They've won the last 4 leagues straight. So for this dynasty, it's gonna look like a new Manchester City next year. What do you expect for them in the summer?
I expect, especially considering Pep Guardiola said that he wants to work with a smaller roster, I expect them to still make big moves. Everybody absolutely knows City has the biggest wallet, if not one of the biggest at least, if not the biggest in the country. So they can spend big. The problem is, How is Pep Guardiola going to deal with a big transition season for Manchester City? Because this is what this was. They definitely did not impress anybody with their performance. Rodri got injured. Haaland did not exceed expectations by any means. And City now has to find a way to bring guys in that are going to make it all stick. And they're going to produce much, much better results because City has to contend for titles. And going away losing an FA Cup final is not going to cut it.
We'll get into who they're looking at in the transfer section of the show, but they are targeting one guy who I think would fit their system very well. I expect City to have a great summer. I think that they're going to be back contending for the title next year. I think that this was just a fluke year. What type of motivation can you really have after 2 years ago? You won a treble. You followed up with winning your fourth Premier League trophy in a row. They really only cared for Champions League. The other stuff, I think, just kind of fell by the wayside. I think that's the saying. But nonetheless, they get it done. All that matters is they have Champions League football next year. Ipswich 1, West Ham 3. Nobody cares. 19th Ipswich, 14th West Ham. Liverpool champions 1, Crystal Palace 1. Palace finished 12th. The best moment of this game is Palace giving Liverpool a guard of honor walking out and Liverpool returning the favor for them. I don't think I've ever seen that. It was a very classy gesture. And then obviously everyone was curious, Trent's last game in a Liverpool shirt after 20 years in the academy, making it up to the first team. He contributed to some of the most iconic moments that this club has ever seen. And Jurgen Klopp, I think, coming up and stepping up and saying that's not who we are. He had to turn the TV off at an event. He spoke about the Trent situation. I think that hit home for the Liverpool fans. And they, after the reaction that they had, just like all humans, very angry. You have some time to think. You calm down and realize that this kid's given you everything. So it was good to see. Your thoughts on the Trent situation and the Liverpool fans.
Excellent, excellent career from Trent. I think he gave it his all. To have a player for this long in the same team is already such an accomplishment. It's not necessary to retire. We rarely see that now happening, especially with the type of money and contracts that are being offered. Props to him. The last season that he had, he won the league, which was great. The moment of the season for me with Trent is going to be that goal against, I believe it was Leicester City, right? Where he scored that.
On the flag.
Yeah, he put the jersey on the flag. He went and celebrated with the fans. I feel like that was the last moment. And listen, silly guys are going to exist anywhere. I mean, to book Trent is an absolute disgrace. Klopp said it best. I sent you that clip of him talking and explaining how much Trent has given back to the team, wearing the jersey and actually living through the team.
That's what we were saying, though. Like, exactly, everyone was feeling that way. So it's good that they kind of came to their senses. This one was an absolute shocker. Talk about dropping the ball. Manchester United 2, Aston Villa 0. United finished 15th, and they effectively knocked Villa out of the Champions League spots, who finished 6th. Early on, Martinez, just a fluke, weird moment. I think it was, right before halftime, takes out Hoyland. It looked like a safety in an NFL game coming over the top, just taking out a receiver across the middle of the field. It's potentially his last game for Villa, so I'm sure emotions are high there. Amon scores in the 76th. Eriksen gets a farewell goal in the 87th from the penalty spot. And United, after their probably the worst night in club history, maybe, they get it done and end the season on somewhat of a positive note. What happened here, man? Is it just the red card?
I did hint at this. I did say that it was very possible after that terrible night coming back home for a game, the last of the season, that the players would not just roll over. And I kind of expect them to put up a fight. And listen, despite the red card in the first half, Manchester United did great. They created some chances. They held the ball when they could. They defended. They didn't let Villa really, create a shocking chance. And then they took the game in the second half with that red card, and props to them. You got to fight when you wear that. When you wear any type of jersey with an emblem on it, you got to fight. And I feel like the Manchester United fans, a lot of times in the season, were disappointed by the effort more than the lack of quality that the team had.
Let's go to another. We have more on Manchester United later in the show, by the way. But let's go to another team that qualified. Newcastle 0, Everton 1. They finished 5th and qualified. Newcastle. Everton finishes 13th. Boy, oh boy, they will be Newcastle fans will be silently rooting for United in the back of their heads next season after what they pulled off, because this was a shocker. I mean, they were at home. We thought there's no way Everton really do anything here. And I remember I was in a, I was traveling and just got the notification that Everton scored in the 63rd minute or so, and I was like, no way. But luckily they lose on the final day, but still get what they were looking for. An unbelievable season for Newcastle, probably their best in the last 50 years. They get their trophy, they get Champions League. It's a place that I think people will want to play. I mean, they got money to spend, a lot of it. It's a great fans, great stadium. So good for Newcastle. Nottingham Forest 0, Chelsea 1. Chelsea finished 4th, win the Conference League as well. We're not really going to spend much time on that, but Forest finished 7th. It officially looks like those couple games at the end of the season, they had this, Forest, and they let it slip, and that's really the difference between taking that next step in terms of, you know, what tier club you are. But nonetheless, again, much like I spoke about Bournemouth earlier, correct me if I'm wrong, they far exceeded expectations. Give me 30 seconds on Forest.
Massively. Forest did not start the season finishing in a European spot. I think it's been probably 20 plus years since they've played in a European competition. And, you know, they blew it at the end. That's it. That's as simple as that.
Really is unfortunate. I was rooting for them. So UCL spots, Liverpool, Arsenal, City, Chelsea, Newcastle, and through their Europa League victory, 17th place Tottenham will play in next season's Champions League, which is just absolutely insane. But it's cool, and that's what sports is all about.
Yes.
I'm happy for Postecoglou. The statement of, I always win something in my second year, coming to fruition on the final day of the season while having your worst season in club history was great. The clips from the parade were cool. So, you know, it's although it was at my expense, and, you know, kind of made me depressed for a couple days, good for Tottenham. And it has been the one positive that I've been able to take away over the last couple days is Arsenal are still without a major trophy for the last 5 seasons.
For real.
Under Arteta. And their fans are just coming up with every single possible way to frame that they've had a better season than these teams who have won trophies, and a better last couple years than these teams have won trophies. And all while that's going on, their club legend Thierry Henry is publicly pretty much saying, like, where are we going? We haven't had any cup finals, no trophies. So very interesting stuff. But nonetheless, up next, we are talking the Champions League final, PSG versus Inter Milan, tomorrow, 3 p.m. in Munich. So do not move. You're not going to want to miss this. First Touch rolls on here on the Sports Byline Broadcast Network. I'm your host, Ty Levine, along with Nico Beef Sauce. We are coming right back.
Listen up, guys. Are you experiencing any of the following? Fatigue, less drive, poor performance? If so, you may be one of the nearly 30 million men in the U.S. today dealing with ED. But did you know you don't have to pay hundreds for a prescription anymore? And you don't have to deal with the hassle of seeing the doctor or the embarrassment of going to the pharmacy for a certain pill. Now, with one free call, you can find out how Herbal Virility Max can help you feel like a man again. For over a decade, Herbal Virility Max has helped guys just like you put a smile back on their face with improved performance and drive. Call today and ask about our buy one, get one free offer.
800-773-5112. 800-773-5112. 800-773-5112. That's 800-773-5112.
I am an American veteran. I'm proud to have served this country. Helping veterans is something all Americans can participate in, and it's as simple as donating an old car that you have sitting around. When you call the Veteran Car Donation Program, they'll explain how their program works, and then arrange a time they can come and pick up your vehicle for free. Running or not, it doesn't matter. They take cars, trucks, motorcycles, or vans. Show your support by donating your car and get a tax deduction in the process. Call call the Veteran Card Donation Program right now. They'll come and pick your car up for free, and you'll get a tax deduction in the process. Call the number we're about to give you right now. Thank you, and God bless America.
800-887-1097. 800-887-1097. 800-887-1097. That's 800-887-1097.
I am a non-attorney spokesperson representing a team of lawyers who help people that have been injured or wronged. If you've been involved in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident, or injured at work, you have rights, and you may be entitled to money for your suffering. Don't accept an offer you get from an insurance company until you talk to a lawyer. And we represent some of the best personal injury lawyers you can find. Tough lawyers that will fight to win your case. And they're so good, they stake their reputation on it by only getting paid if you win. So if you've been in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident or hurt on the job, find out today for free what kind of compensation you may be entitled to. Call the legal helpline right now.
800-401-5163. 800-401-5163. 800-401-5163. That's 800-401-5163.
Welcome back to First Touch here on the Sports Byline Broadcast Network, presented by Sports Overnight America. I'm your host, Tyler Levine, along with Nico Beef Sauce. And Nico,
yeah,
we have a Champions League final tomorrow, and I think I saw a stat. It's the first Champions League final in 21 years that does not feature a Premier League, La Liga, or Bundesliga side, which is very cool. And for me, I mean, I think it's the same for you. I am a true neutral here. Either team that wins, I will be happy for. I think I'm slightly leaning towards wanting to root for PSG, but let's hear from you your assessment of what you expect, how you expect this game to look, and what each team needs to do to inevitably lift the Champions League trophy. Go ahead.
Before I give you my analysis, I will say another really cool fact about this final is that Inter and PSG have never played each other before in Champions League history. This is literally their first game ever against each other in a European competition. They're meeting in the Champions League final for the first time ever. Now, listen, I think that these two teams are going to have to do such a good job defensively to counterattack each other's strengths, because we are talking about some monsters here. We are talking about Kvaratskhelia. We are talking about Dembele. We are talking about Barcola, which is an amazing player, although he hasn't played great this season. And then on the other side, you have Lautaro Martinez, you have Thuram, you have DiMarco, and two of the best keepers of Champions League this season, Donnarumma and Sommer.
I was just going to say that these two goalkeepers have both been monsters. Standing on their head. I mean, it's, you got to have a serious set of cojones to take the over in this one with how these exactly. two have been playing. It's actually crazy because, like, these two teams, you look, like, I'm looking at the projected lineups right now, and, like, dude, it's just class all over the field. Like, it really, this is, and I don't think many people would have predicted these teams in the final. But you look at the rosters and you're like, why were they not given a true thought to being the team that can get it done? But let's start with Inter real quick. What do they have to do to lift this trophy? Is there a game plan that you think that you have in mind to be able to take advantage of some of PSG's, I don't know, weaknesses, if we can call them that?
If I was Inter, I would do the same exact thing Postecoglou did to United. I would pack the middle. I would push them off to the side, and I would make sure there's coverage, no one-on-ones, you know, with Dembele and Kvaratskhelia being excellent at those and being very dangerous also with shots outside the box. I think PSG, I don't know the stat off the top of my head, but I've seen them shoot outside the box. Doué scored a golazo. Kvaratskhelia and Dembele have been shooting great all season. Push them to the side, and then propose danger when you're counterattacking, which Inter has been great at doing. Thuram and Lautaro Martinez linking up all season long. They've scored big goals against Bayern Munich, Barcelona. And that's been their recipe to success. Pack the middle, make sure that DeMarco and Fratesi are ready to just launch from the wings because they run for days and create some really, really good chances every time you get forward.
It's going to be very interesting because we saw this, you know, this Inter Milan team is, I believe, had the best defensive record in Serie A this season. They finished second, obviously, behind Napoli, but we saw Barcelona put six past them across two legs. So, you know, it's going to be interesting because, I mean, you look at both teams on, you know, Barcelona, PSG on paper, they're very similar outside of Lamine Yamal for me, who I just have at kind of a different level than everybody else right now. But Kvaratskhelia is a top player and is
beast.
Very, very good on the ball, dribbling, taking people on. And then you look over to Dembele, who, if they win this game, will most likely be lifting the Ballon d'Or. I mean, he's had an unbelievable – this is the best season of his career by far. He was had picked up a slight knock in the first leg in the Arsenal game, but you know, came back and he's here. Both teams, which is – I'm happy to see this, are very healthy. There's no one in either starting 11 that's really missing. But let's shift to PSG while we're there. What do they have to do to ultimately get this done?
They have to be very, very disciplined in the way that they defend because – listen, PSG made it to the Champions League final, defeating some monsters. I'm talking about Liverpool. I'm talking about Villa and Arsenal. Whatever your opinion is about those teams, these are three Premier League teams. And the fact that PSG won three wins against them, it is absolutely massive. And now we're going to see PSG go and play a game that's going to be completely different because I feel like Inter is going to play back. They're not going to play very forward like those English teams are used to giving them space. But defensively, Donnarumma has been standing on his head in this tournament. And he's given them big wins by saving big and short goals. So, you know, PSG is going to have to defend very, very well, and they're going to have to be dangerous and try to create those one-on-ones that Inter wants to avoid because Dembele and Kvaratskhelia, as I said earlier, they can dribble through you and shoot the ball like nobody else.
For me, it's actually crazy because neither of these teams would be here if it wasn't for their goalkeepers, specifically Inter. I think that, you know, I still think PSG, whether, you know, Donnarumma made a couple of those saves or not, would have prevailed over Arsenal. But, I mean, Sommer in the second leg against Barcelona in the first leg as well was just unbelievable. And what kills me is that they sold Onana to Manchester United for what, £50 million, and signed him for six. How did that work out? Anyways, back to this game. For me, it's crazy, but I think the outside backs for PSG are what will win them this game when they are getting up the field and applying pressure, especially in the defensive formation that Inter will sit in. Not only that, but Nuno Mendes against Salah, against all these top guys, was pocketing people left and right. So if they are locked in defensively, I just think the PSG are going to be so, so, so hard to beat. Because there's an argument for each side with the midfields and the attacking players for both teams on, you know, either way it can go, you know, PSG can be better than Inter on any given night. The Inter attackers can be better than PSG on any given night. But for me, when that PSG back line is locked in, Donnarumma is on, Nuno Mendes, Hakimi, Marquinhos, like they get to a different level for me. And then Vitinha as well. He is a player that I think is severely underrated, who really controls the game. So for PSG, they want to have him on the ball as much as humanly possible. And for Inter, it just seems like the formula is sit back, defend, and take advantage of your opportunities when you get them. They don't play this flashy attacking style of football. They are disciplined. They take their chances when they get them. They finish those chances. And you know, we saw that against Barcelona. They're a team that, as we have seen on both sides of this, when they get a lead, they can lose that lead very quickly, but they don't let that get to them mentally. So I think that Inter will want to obviously score first here. If they don't, though, I don't think it's the end of the world. Let's go to predictions here. What are you expecting, I guess, here? Well, PSG's plus 120 money line. The draw's plus 235. Inter's plus 240. Over 2.5 minus 101. Under 2.5 minus 124. Are you expecting goals in this game?
I honestly expect goals. because I do expect that those wingbacks, Nuno Mendes and Fratesi versus DiMarco and Hakimi, like those matchups are going to be very tactical, but I think that they're both going to try to expose each other. Because yeah. Hakimi and Nuno Mendes love to play forward, and DiMarco and Fratesi know that even if they go forward, Inter's playing with three at the back. That's going to be a very tight battle between strategies, but I do expect goals because I do think that Inter is phenomenal at counterattack and they won't miss chances. We saw that against Barcelona. They don't have to create 20 chances to score.
And everyone can score on everyone. I mean, everyone can. Dumfries and DiMarco love to get forward. Like they love to do that. And they're, you know, this Inter team is one of the very few teams that can play a formation like this, and it really, really suits them and the players that they have.
Absolutely.
I like goals as well. I like the over 2.5 at -101. And I do like PSG here. I just think that it's their time. It's weird to say that, but you know, we've been watching PSG for how long? We saw what happened with Real Madrid this year. I just feel like it's destiny that they get. You look at everyone else across. You know, look at England, Crystal Palace, Newcastle. You know, the winning trophies. Tottenham winning their first trophy. And although PSG is not an underdog in this game, they've been working for this. This has been the goal for since the new ownership took over, you know, when I 10, 15 years ago. And I think they get it done. I really, really do. I think PSG in a 2-1 win, maybe a late goal, a little drama. But this is going to be just it's going to be a great match. It's going to be action-packed. I think after watching what we had to watch in the Europa League final, it's going to look like they're playing a completely different sport out there. And I could not possibly be more excited for it. But nonetheless, up next on First Touch, we will get into the headlines and transfer news going on around the world of football. So do not move. We're coming right back. I'm your host, Tal Levine, along with Nico Beef Sauce. First Touch rolls on.
At Straight Talk, we are all about no-brainers. Calling grandma for her recipe, no-brainer. Streaming one more episode at 2 a.m., big no-brainer. Getting real unlimited data where you buy bananas, the ultimate no-brainer. Switch now and get a free Samsung Galaxy A16 5G or Moto G Power 5G 2025 with select plans. Straight Talk, real unlimited data. Available at Walmart and StraightTalk.com. Offer valid through 7/2025. Taxes and fees apply. Requires in-store activation of single-line gold unlimited plan or higher. For network management practices, visit StraightTalk.com/terms. Copyright 2025 Verizon.
All aboard!
There's a new way to travel, and it's one of the oldest forms of transportation. Travel by train. Yes, consider traveling around the United States on Amtrak. Traveling by train is a lot less of a headache than taking a plane, and you'd be surprised how many places you can go on an Amtrak, and there's no passports or IDs needed. Find out how to get where you're going as soon as tomorrow by train. Call the Amtrak Travel Hotline right now. We'll book your trip and email your tickets within minutes. Skip the drive to the airport and skip the lines. Call right now to book your Amtrak reservations. We service most of the United States.
All aboard!
Do something new. Travel by Amtrak today.
800-262-3903. 800-262-3903. 800-262-3903. That's 800-262-3903.
My fellow Americans, let the message ring out that from this day forward, when you buy American, you buy the best. Handcrafted. Something premium. Something pure. For this is the very essence of what our servicemen and women gave their lives to protect. And by God, we shall not allow their sacrifice to be forgotten. It's time to show the world just how great American can be. And we will not wait for tomorrow to come. We will stand here, this moment, together. And we will start today. Don't ever forget how great it is to be American. America we need right now. America. responsibly.
Have you been daydreaming about losing weight for years? Do you just yo-yo back and forth? At Innovative Wellness Center, we have a holistic weight loss program that allows you to lose up to 20 pounds in 30 days. People are losing weight like crazy and keeping it off. It can be done from anywhere in the United States. Go to our website at www.innovativewellness.center and schedule your complimentary consultation today.
Welcome back to First Touch here on the Sports Byline Broadcast Network presented by Sports Overnight America. I am your host, Tyler Levine, along with Nico Beefsauce. Let's get into summer. It is summertime, baby. The Premier League is wrapped up. Champions League final tomorrow. And outside of the Club World Cup, the most interesting part of every summer is who's going where, who's switching teams, what coaches are moving around. It's within hours of these games being wrapped up, news started dropping. Let's start in the Liverpool camp. Trent to Madrid is confirmed. What do you think that he brings to this Real Madrid side? Obviously, Xabi Alonso is now the manager, so they'll be playing a different formation than we've seen over the past couple seasons under Ancelotti. Trent, obviously not known for his defending per se, but on the ball, probably the best right back in the world. You have to argue the best passing right back in the world, I think, without a doubt, with no question. So what does he add to this team? How much do you expect this to change what we watched over the last season where they won nothing? Go ahead. Let's hear it.
I think the most important thing Trent brings to Real Madrid is shine and excitement. I don't think, honestly, obviously he's a better right back than what they played with last year. I think Madrid's problems were mainly defensively, which Trent is not known for, just like you said. I'm not sure that he adds anything just by that extra quality and shine on the pitch. I do think that Xabi Alonso is going to be, his first focus has got to be the team's mentality when they don't have the ball. And I'm talking about defense and pressing, of course. Good move for him. I hope it doesn't work out because I still want Liverpool to win trophies over Madrid.
I will say the one thing that a lot of people don't really talk about because it isn't necessarily, on a game-by-game basis what wins you games, but set pieces. They have Mbappe taking their free kicks this season. He scored one in his career, I think that what he will add from those, right outside the box free kicks, not only for, shooting purposes, but for crossing as well, corner kicks. I think that that's going to be huge. And especially with the formation that they will be playing, he won't necessarily need to be relied on defensively as much because he's going to have three center backs in behind him. And Dean Huijsen, however you say it, from Bournemouth, just moved over as well to Real Madrid. So they have a sense.
I'm not sure that Xabi Alonso is going to play with five at the back. I know that he did that at Leverkusen, but Leverkusen had three monsters for center backs. Towers. I don't know if this is what he's bringing to Madrid, just saying.
With a healthy Militao, Rudiger, Asensio, and Huijsen, those are four pretty solid guys. I don't know either. We will see ultimately. I think that you look at the roster they have. I kind of like them being set up that way because Mendy isn't the best defensive player either, but is very, very quick and can get up and down the field, no doubt. So we'll see. We'll definitely see. I know a lot has to change there. Sticking in Merseyside with Liverpool, they snag the double from Leverkusen. Wirtz for $100 million, which is not necessarily confirmed yet, but it is all but wrapped up, confirmed by Fabrizio that it is happening. Just the final details have not come out yet. And Frimpong officially signed today. They got Frimpong for $35 million. That is a steal. I looked at that, and I was like, are you kidding me? How?
That's insane. He's 24, too.
Do you know that in each respective league, and obviously they're very different quality leagues, I think it's fair to say Premier League versus Bundesliga, Frimpong had 13 dribbles passed throughout the entire season, and Trent, I think, had 56 people dribble past him. So, it's a massive, it's literally, quite literally a massive defensive upgrade. They lose out on the attacking aspect, but just calling it for what it is, they don't really need help with that from an outside back. They're all set going forward already.
Yeah, and talking about attack, I mean, Frimpong ends the season with 5 goals, 5 assists, and he's been clocked at 36.3 kilometers per hour in terms of speed. He's a bullet on the field.
And not only that, there, the talks for Kirkez from Bournemouth, who had a phenomenal season as well, the left back to replace Robertson. I'm sure he'll stay around because he's, you know, I think it's fair to say he's, you know, a Liverpool legend at this point. Not a top legend, but, you know, he's been here through this whole rebuild. I mean, he's won everything. Yeah, he's won everything with the team. He's great for vibes. If they get Verts, Frimpong, and Kirkez, the rest of the league has to really, really watch out. And there's a lot of pressure on what other teams will be doing this summer. Especially, I mean, I don't know if they're going to go out and sign a striker as well. I mean,
I think it's very possible.
I think it is, too. I mean, they don't want Darwin. Jota is always injured, and just calling it for what it is, not the guy that you want up front. There's a lot of young talent out there. Even if they can't afford to go get like a Gyökeres, like a Sesko potentially from Leipzig would be a good option. He kind of gives me Darwin vibes, but you know, nonetheless, I still think it's a better option without a doubt. Let's move over to the red side of Manchester. Cunha confirmed, $65 million from Wolves to United. I personally absolutely love it. He has swagger. He runs all over the field. He can score. He can assist. I think it's an upgrade, and it's a great get, the fact that he was still willing to come regardless of the Champions League football or not. Your thoughts on this transfer for United?
I think it's a great transfer for them because I do feel like Cunha has that like hyped up factor about him. Like when you watch him play, you watch him just go a little bit crazy on and off the ball. So I like that because I think United needs it. They need some people with passion to come in and change the dynamic of the game. And if I'm going to say something about this window for United is the Almarim talks about Bruno not having to leave. He basically came out and said that United doesn't need to sell Bruno to stay financially afloat. So I think this is a message from Almarim that he wants to keep the player. I've been
very up in the air about this because I think that, you know, the conversation that's being had on social media is without Bruno, you would have been relegated this season, and I agree. And there's two sides to this. Next season is not this season, and if you're getting $100 million for a guy that's about to turn 31 years old and you need new blood in there, like we need a lot of new players, it comes to a point where although he's our best player and was our life this year, and we would have been relegated this year without him, it comes to where's that fine line of keeping him for too long and not being able to extract maximum value? And that's where I'm up in the air. Now, the other side of this is there is a thought process of I don't trust Ineos to spend the $100 million wisely. They spent well more than that thus far since they've been on board, and look at the transfers that we've had. So I think that whatever happens with that situation, I'm okay with. Whether he stays or goes, I would love to keep him. I also wouldn't hate $100 million in the bank for us to spend this summer to improve the squad, considering we missed out on Champions League and lost out on all that money. Now, someone who is definitely leaving, Garnacho, gone. Reports coming out that he, Almarim, in front of the entire team, after everything that transpired after the Europa League final, said, you better pray you find a new club. I read it. I love it. I like Garnacho. His attitude is poor. It's not what we need right now. Calling it for what it is. It's not like you were lighting up games left and right. It's not like you scored 15, 20, 30 goals and had 10, 11 assists. That's not what we saw. So although I agree he probably should have played, maybe started or got more time, that right there from Almarim is what we need at this club. It's all about the players, and it's always, you know, we keep cycling these managers in and out, and this tone had to be set that this is it. Like, we're done with this. Like, if you can't go with what we're working towards here, just get out. On top of that, we bought Garnacho for £400,000 from Atletico Madrid when he was a teenager. This is straight profit, which again, we need right now. So I pray to the Lord that Manu stays. Garnacho will certainly be gone, and I expect a lot of players to be out the door. Eriksen, Lindelof, and Johnny Evans are already gone. They're probably going straight to the retirement home. But nonetheless, Chelsea signed a striker. Liam Delap, $30 million from Ipswich. Thoughts? I mean, I think he's an upgrade from Jackson, no doubt.
I think a great move because Delap has a much better touch than Nicholas Jackson. Whoever watched the Conference League final can attest to Nicholas Jackson being an absolute joke. I mean, I don't know how soccer players make it to that level, making $150,000, $200,000 a week, and they can't even freaking stop the ball or, like, control it. The lap is going to give them a lot of good experience because he knows the Premier League, and I feel like it's going to be a great solution. I don't expect Chelsea to just stay to that, because if they want to contest for more, and now that they have Champions League football coming, I don't see how they don't sign another striker.
Do you think that they might want to spend elsewhere? I mean, you look at, I mean, let's go with this for example. Keeper, absolutely, unequivocally, they need. What do they do with Sancho? They either pay $5 million and send him back to United, just a straight $5 million loss, or they spend the $25 to trigger the release clause. What do you do if you are Todd Boehly and Chelsea?
I would keep Sancho, because I feel like, I mean, every time he comes,
he's English.
He's definitely English. He's talented. He's young. He has resale value, and you know you're gonna get him for a good price because everybody knows Sancho doesn't like to be in United. He had a terrible time there with the coaches, with the fans, like beef with everybody. So you get him, you snag him, and then
I feel
when it comes to works, and you sell him for $40 million in a year or two.
I feel very similarly about it. It's kind of how I feel about the Liam Delap transfer. If Chelsea spent $75 million on Liam Delap, I'd say that's insane. They spent $30 million. There's not, you can't really, in today's market, like you can't really lose with that. Like you might as well. Same with Sancho, because Sancho, if he all of a sudden gets his crap together and becomes the Sancho of Dortmund that was sold to United for $80 million, then it's a home run transfer and it's a massive win. On the flip side, again, it's $25 million. Like that's virtually in today's market nothing. Like it's almost free at that point. It's obviously not, but you know it's as free as you can get for a player like that.
And to have a player that likes to play for the team, we forget sometimes. You sign a player, and then if they don't want to be there, they're not producing good. And then it's like you have a weight on your shoulder. Sancho seems to like to play there. He's scoring goals. He's coming off the bench, starting. You know, like he's having fun.
I'm curious to see, because United's going to get Anthony, Rashford, and Sancho back from their loan. So what they do with them, again, I expect all three to be sold, as they should be. They should all
It's
go.
All on Amorim, right?
I mean, where did they fit in the system?
Attitude-wise, I'm just saying, like...
If I were to keep one of the three, I would keep Anthony over the other two. As much as I love Marcus Rashford and what he's done for the team, like, Anthony at least works hard and tries. Although for United, at least his, you know, actual ability was questionable, but you look at what he did at Betis and like, bro, the guy's beloved by their fans. So, you know, something's got to be said about that. And also we spent a lot of money on him. We might consider to potentially give him a little more time before we take that L. Manchester City are going after Ryan Cherki, young French talent from Lyon, an absolute baller. He was chirping the United fans while playing against United for Lyon. I would have loved to have him at United. I think he is going to be an absolute stud. I think he will fit very well into Pep's system. The thought of Cherki, Marmoush, Haaland is terrifying, straight up. And I think that's going to be that's what they need. These are the transfers that I expect from City all summer long. Young, talented, hardworking, just dog players that can, you know, replace the De Bruyne's, who is looking like he's heading to Napoli, which I love for him, by the way. I think that's a great transfer. But
yeah,
your thoughts on Cherki and Manchester City?
He's a baller. He could play number 10 at United today. No joke. He's an amazing player with the ball at his feet. And as you said, youth is going to play a big role for City's transfers, because Pep wants that transition back and forth, and he definitely has the quality and the legs to do that.
Yeah, I'm worried for I mean, honestly, I'm not. I don't really have any if United can finish in the top six next year, I think it's a massive W. But we'll see. There's some other transfer stuff we're going to go through here on the 2-minute drill coming up next. So do not move. We're coming right back here on First Touch. I'm your host, Todd Levine, along with Nico Beef Sauce. The 2-minute drill coming up next. More transfer talk here on First Touch.
We'll be right back. This is a true sad story for ADT, the leader in home security systems. My favorite dog, Oliver, was stolen from our garage recently. If I had a camera system installed in my home from ADT, I would have known exactly what car possibly pulled up in my driveway and stole my little friend. If I had a security system from ADT, my dog would still be here. I called ADT this weekend, and they're coming out in a few days to install a camera and a new security system. Unfortunately, it's a little too late for me. Listen, protect everyone you love in your family. Call ADT now. Have them come out and give you a quote to install a full security system in your home. Don't let it be too late for you. Call right now.
Paid for by the Home Security Hotline. 800-361-3491. 800-361-3491. 800-361-3491. That's 800-361-3491.
We all love children, and many of us have an old car, truck, or van in the driveway. Find the Children has a great way for you to put your unwanted vehicle to good use. Keep listening. Every year, thousands of kids go missing. Trust me, it's a parent's worst nightmare. When a child goes missing, every moment counts, and you need all of the help you can get. Find the Children is a nonprofit organization dedicated to locating missing children and bringing them home safely. You can help support their mission by donating your car, truck, van, or SUV. A towing company will come and pick up your car for free, running or not, and the donation of your car is tax deductible. Your help is providing the funds they need to continue their services. Call now, donate your old vehicle to Find the Children and get free pickup. Here's the number.
800-670-7830. 800-670-7830. 800-670-7830. That's 800-670-7830.
Are you tired of making trip after trip on doctor visits only to get wrong medications that waste time, money, and cause you side effects? If you're on Medicare, call for a free medical assessment and determine which medications are right for you based on your genetic makeup with our convenient swab test performed in your home and mailed to our laboratory. No more trial and error. The results will tell you and your doctor which medications you don't need and identify more appropriate replacements. If you're on Medicare and take multiple medications, call now for our genetic testing service at little or no cost to you. It starts with a call for a free medical assessment and evaluation of your Medicare coverage. Make this free call right now.
800-948-6814. 800-948-6814. 800-948-6814. That's 800-948-6814.
Time for the 2-minute drill here on First Touch. Listen to on the Sports Byline Broadcast Network presented by Sports Overnight America. I'm your host, Todd Levine, along with Nico Beef Sauce. Just as of 33 minutes ago, reports coming out, Luis Diaz, priority target for Al-Nassr this summer. Barcelona also interested. Barcelona interested in Marcus Rashford as well. We were just talking about it with Wirtz. I think, to be honest, I think Luis Diaz is a fine player. It would be a shame to see him go to the Saudi League this early. I think that he can make a serious impact elsewhere, but at the same time, you just spent $100 million on a guy, in Wirtz, who can play in that left-wing spot. So, nonetheless, Nico, I want to ask this question. Who do you think is under the most pressure in the Premier League this summer, transfer window-wise?
Absolutely Arsenal and Newcastle for different reasons. Arsenal because they desperately need a trophy, and Newcastle because they undoubtedly had an amazing season last season, but next season is going to be a Champions League season. And we saw how that impacted Villa, which tried to fix some things in the winter transfer window. But when you play for the Champions League, you got to be deep. You have to have a deep bench. I'm sure there's going to be offers coming in for Isak, which they're going to have to somewhat make a decision whether they're going to sell or keep their best player. So excited for those two.
Yeah, it's going to be really interesting to see what they do. And I haven't seen much noise coming out of Newcastle thus far this summer. And you got to be, if there's one thing that we know, is you got to be quick to act, because these top guys are wanted by everybody. And the minute, if you can find good talent before a City or a Liverpool or an Arsenal do, that's your competitive advantage. Because once these bigger clubs come calling, not that Newcastle isn't a big club, but just the facts are there is more allure to go to a top six club, which historically
absolutely
Newcastle has not been for me. I was going to go with Arsenal as well, but just to throw someone else out there, obviously, Manchester United. What they do this summer for me will make or break the next 3 to 5 years. A lot of guys got to go. A lot of guys got to come in. I'd prefer a smaller squad. But we're going to keep going with transfer talk next week on First Touch. More transfer news, more headlines, the UCL final recap, and we'll start previewing the Club World Cup. Have an absolute banger of a weekend here. Enjoy the game tomorrow. We will be covering it next week. Thank you guys again. I'm your host, Todd Levine, along with Nico Beefsauce. First Touch returns next Friday, 5 o'clock Eastern.